Exodus 21. Exodus chapter 21. And let me introduce you to this custom which the Jewish people had concerning servants or slaves. In the first place, sometimes you say, how did a person get to be a servant like this, a slave? Well, sometimes a man would get so far in debt and could not pay his creditors. So he was compelled by law. They didn't have any such thing as bankruptcy. He was compelled by law to give his services to his creditor. In other words, he owed a businessman a great sum of money, and he would just become that man's slave. He would become that man's servant. But there was a time limit put on it. It says here that he will serve 6 years. He would serve that man 6 years, and then at the end of 6 years, the seventh year, this servant was permitted to go free. His debts all settled, all paid for. He owes nothing. Now he's just permitted to leave the master's house and go completely free. Sometimes a man would be convicted of theft. Well, instead of putting him in jail, instead of putting him in prison, and him become an expense on the government or the ruling powers, then they'd just give him to a master as a slave. If he had stolen, guilty of theft, they'd put him in this master's home, and there he would serve as a slave. But again, there was a limit put on the length of his service. He would only serve for 6 years, and at the seventh year, the beginning of the seventh year, he could go free. Sometimes a man who was extremely poor, he had no job, he had no home, he had no place to live, he had nothing. Well, he couldn't draw a welfare check because they didn't have a welfare program. So he would sell himself as a slave, as a servant. He would go to some wealthy man and he would say, I have no place to go. I have no home, I have no income, I have no job, I have nothing. I want to be your slave. And he would be that man's servant. But at the end of 6 years, at the first of the seventh year, he was permitted to go free. Now then, here's where we come to verse 5 of Exodus 21. Now watch this. But if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, and I love my wife and children, I will not go free. Here's a man who has been serving a good master, and he's happy with that master. He loves that master, and he's married since he's been in this master's home. He's married one of the young ladies in the home, or one of the relatives, or one of the other servant girls. He's married her, and they've had children. And he's happy, and he loves his master, and he loves his wife, and he loves his children, and he loves his work. Well, the law is that he's to be set free. But he says, I don't want to go free. I prefer to be a servant in my master's house. I don't want to go free. Well, then he shall be brought before a judge. That's what the scripture says here. Then the master shall bring him, verse 6, to the judges. It's going to be an official thing. It's going to be a legal thing. And if this man, this servant, shall plainly say, now underscore, as I said, the word plainly in verse 5, he is not under any pressure. The master did not get him drunk. The master did not promise him a lot of things. The master did not twist his arm. The master did not threaten him. If the servant shall come before the judges and of his own will, intelligently and willingly, he shall plainly say, let's make this thing clear now. You're not being coerced. You're not being forced against your will. This is your decision. That's what the judges are asking him. If he shall plainly say, clearly say, I don't want to go free. I want to remain with my master. There is no pressure on me at all. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I do not want my liberty, which is available. I will not go free. Well, then they perform a ceremony. It says in verse 6, then the master shall bring him to the judge, and they shall bring him to the door. Now, some people say this is the gate of the city where the judges sat, but I don't think that's correct. I believe the door here is the door of the master's house. That's where the ceremony takes place. They bring him to the door of the master's house, and he stands before the door, and they shall take his right ear, and they shall bore a hole in that right ear with an awl or with a needle, a certain type of needle, and bore it to the door. Now, the ear is that with which we hear, and the ear speaks of obedience. And the master shall bore the ear. Not a servant, not a judge. The master does it. It's a relationship between the master and that servant. That servant loves that master. And that servant intends to hear that master and serve that master and obey that master in his home. And they're boring the ear to the door with an awl, indicating that he shall never again leave the threshold of that master's home. That's his home from now on. That's his place of service. That's his place of dwelling in the master's home. And that's where he stays from now on. And that's where we get the word bondslave. That servant is no longer under the law to remain, but he's under love. He's a willing, loving, submissive servant to his master. And when the Apostle Paul opened the first chapter of the book of Romans, he says, that's what I am. I am a bondslave of Jesus Christ. The master has bored my ear. The master has bored my ear to the door of his house. The master has bored my ear, and I am his forever. I shall never leave the threshold of my master's house. They shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Forever. And that's what Paul calls himself. A willing, loving, obedient bondslave of Jesus Christ. There was an old preacher who preached in the state of Mississippi years and years and years ago, where I was acquainted with the memory of this man. I never knew him. He lived a long time before my time. But I knew Brother A.D. Muse in Louisville. I assisted in his funeral. Brother Muse died 20 years ago, and he was 64 at that time. And his friend was T.T. Martin, and this man I'm talking about was the father of T.T. Martin, old M.T. Martin. So you know how long ago he lived. But his ministry was during the Civil War. He preached during the Civil War and before that, but the main part of his ministry was during and after the Civil War in the state of Mississippi. And old M.T. Martin loved the gospel. He preached the gospel. And after the South was devastated and practically destroyed during the Civil War, they had nothing. Their churches and their schools were threatened with complete ruin. They were threatened with closing. And M.T. Martin set out on a horse and rode all over the state of Mississippi for months and months and months trying to raise money to keep Mississippi Baptist College in operation. They say that three horses died under this old man while he traveled all over the state preaching Christ, preaching the gospel, and trying to get money to keep this church in operation. And when the old man died, the Baptists loved him. The people of God loved him in that state. When he died, they wanted to give some kind of credit to this man, some kind of praise for all the years of service to the kingdom of God. So they buried him under a little pine tree in a cemetery near Corinth, Mississippi, and they wrote his name on the tombstone, M.T. Martin, not doctor or reverend or father or anything like that, just M.T. Martin. And under the name, they wrote this sentence, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. And they felt that was the highest acclaim that they could give to this great old servant of Christ, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I want us to note three things from this scripture today. First of all, I want us to look at our choice. Our choice. Then secondly, I want us to look at our reasons. And then thirdly, I want us to look at this ceremony, the boring of the ear. Now, first of all, at our choice. Here's a man who has served in a home for 6 years. The end of that 6 years has come. The seventh year has dawned. It's the morning of the first day of the seventh year. And the master comes to him and says, "Well, John, you've served me faithfully these 6 years. And we've had a good relationship, John. But I have your papers here that legally and officially set you free. Here they are." And John says, "Master, I don't want them. I don't want to go free. I want to stay here in your house. I want to be your servant, your slave forever. I don't want to go free." Now, that's our choice. My friends, you can be free from the yoke of Jesus Christ if you want to. You can be totally and completely free from Jesus Christ. Our Lord has no unwilling disciples. Our Lord keeps no man, calls no man, saves no man, redeems no man against his will. Even the 12 disciples, one day our Lord was preaching to thousands of people. And in his message, he talked about his sovereignty. And he talked about his purpose and his providence. And he talked about his glory. And he talked about his death and his blood. And he talked about the inability of the flesh and our total dependence upon the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us. And the people began to walk off. They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And he said, "You think this is a hard saying? Wait till you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. Wait till you see him coming in the glory of the Heavenly Father and the holy angels." And from that time, they walked no more with him. These people all just left. And there was the Lord Jesus standing with the 12 disciples. And he turned to the 12 disciples, and this is what he said, "Will you also go away? You're free to go. I will not keep you against your will. I will not detain you one moment. If you want to leave me, if you want to leave my yoke, if you want to leave my rule, if you want to leave my kingdom, you go right ahead. I will not keep you." And the disciples said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. He drew me, and I followed on, charmed to confess his voice divine. I'm convinced that most preachers make the Lord Jesus Christ sound like a beggar. He's not a beggar. Our Lord is a king. Our Lord is a sovereign. Our Lord hath glory and dominion and power and majesty. He said, all authority in heaven and earth, all power over all flesh. He is the master. And you can leave if you want to. You can go out. If you wish to be free from the yoke of Jesus Christ, you may choose your own master. You may choose as your master the world. You may choose as your master the flesh. You may choose as your master the devil, the world, the flesh, or the devil. Bow to whomsoever you please. Bow to whomsoever you choose. That's your privilege. This is a choice here. And if the servant shall plainly say, this is my decision, this is my choice, I will not go free. And my friend, you may go free if you like. That's your privilege. And that's what the master is saying to the servant John here. John, you may go. There's the door. Here's your papers. You go serve whom you will. You don't have to stay in my house one moment longer. There is nothing to bind you, nothing to hold you. Go out if you will. And John says plainly, I don't have the remotest wish to be free. Actually, my friends, the service of Christ is real freedom. There is no freedom in the service of the world. There is no freedom in the service of the flesh. There is no freedom in the service of the devil. Christ said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall experience and know a real freedom, a freedom from the penalty of sin. Happy is the man to whom God will not charge sin. Freedom from the curse of sin. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the wrath of God. And oh, what a sweet yoke it is. He says, my yoke is easy. I have a yoke, but it's easy. I have a burden, but it's light. Our Lord provides for us. He says, consider the lilies of the field. If God so clothe the lilies, which today are and tomorrow are cast into the oven, how much more shall He clothe you? Consider the sparrows. Not one falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. Consider His providence. He says, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. He provides for me. He protects me. His providence works for my good. He comforts me, and He promises me an eternal inheritance. What better freedom could I have? I don't want to go free. And if the servant shall plainly say, I don't want to go free. Here is your freedom, John. I don't want my freedom. You may go out, John. I don't want to go out. You are free to leave. I don't want to leave. You don't have to stay. I want to stay. I choose Christ. I choose the service of Christ. I choose the yoke of Christ. I choose to bow under the scepter of Christ. I choose the government of Christ. I choose as my goal the glory of Christ. Now, don't you think for one moment that you are under any pressure from God Almighty to walk with Christ. You walk with Christ because you want to walk with Christ. You live for Christ because you're willing to live for Christ. Now, secondly, I want you to look at our reasons. This servant shall come before the judges, and he shall plainly say, let it be clear. Let it be plain. Not under any mass evangelism or psychology of evangelism or pressure of the moment. Or deathbed stories. This is a decision that this servant has thought about for 6 years. This is a moment that this servant has considered for a long time. This is a matter that was settled in his own heart and in his own mind. I'm going to stay with my master. He looked out yonder, I'm sure. He stood by the master's gate. And he looked out there at the pleasures of sin for a season. He looked out there at the world and he considered the advantages and the disadvantages. I'm sure he did. He looked at the requirements of the master's house. He looked at the people, the inhabitants of the master's house. He watched the master day by day and talked with him. And all the time, shall I go out or shall I stay? Shall I remain a servant in this house or shall I go out there on my own? What shall I do? Our Lord tells people, He says, count the cost. Count the cost. Some man said, Lord, I'll follow you till death. He said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. But I'll follow you forever. If any man follow me, let him take up his cross and deny himself, or he cannot be my disciple. Master, I'll follow you. Whosoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You think about this thing. And here are the reasons now this man gave. The servant shall plainly say, it's my own wish, it's my own desire. Nobody's speaking for me. Nobody made this decision for me. I'm not drunk. I'm not under pressure. I'm not under high pressure persuasion. This is my decision. Jesus Christ is my Lord. My Lord. I made an intelligent, willing, loving, confident choice. Of course, God the Holy Spirit enabled me. Of course, God the Holy Spirit convicted me. Of course, God the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see the beauties about me and the vanities of the world. Of course, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see the consequences of sin and the consequences of serving any other master. But being enabled by God's Spirit, this is my choice. And I'm going to tell you why. So they bring him before the judges. And he says plainly, number one, I love my master. I love my master. I love him. Can you say that? I'm not talking about the church. I'm not talking about morality. I'm not talking about the law. I'm not talking about the word. I'm talking about the master. This man has served this master for 6 years. And now it's time for him to go free. And he comes before the judge and he says, I want to remain a servant. I want to remain in my master's home. I want to remain as his slave. I don't want my freedom. I don't want to go out. I don't want to serve anybody else. And here is the first reason. I love my master. I love him. The Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified and rose again. And he appeared to his disciples down by the water. The disciples had been out fishing and they came into shore, and our Lord had built a fire and he had prepared fish for them. And they were sitting there eating the fish, and our master looked over at Simon Peter. And he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Now, he wasn't talking about the other disciples. Our Lord never has pitted one man's devotion against another man's devotion, not at all. He doesn't say, who do you love? Who loves me the most? John, do you love me more than Peter? Peter, do you love me more than James? That's not what he's saying. I think he's talking about these boats and these fishing nets and the things around him, the world. Peter, you know, after the Lord was crucified and he met with the other disciples, he said, I'm going back fishing. That's the way he'd earned his living. That's the way he'd support his family. Peter was married, had a family. That's the way he'd support his family. His mother-in-law lived with him. And he supported them by fishing. That was his life. His whole life was getting up in the morning and mending his nets and heading out to sea and watching the waves and casting the nets and bringing in the fish. That was his life, going to the market, taking the fish he'd caught and selling the fish. And the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, do you love me more than these things? And Peter said, Lord, I love thee. And Christ looked at him again and he said, Peter, he asked him the second time. He said, do you love me? Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Well, feed my sheep. Preach my gospel. Give your life in my kingdom if you love me. I don't want you preaching if you don't love me. I don't want you trying to feed the lambs if you don't love me. I don't want you going forth in my name if you don't love me. But if you love me, feed my sheep. And he asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me? Me. Me. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he came down from his glory and covered his Godhead in human flesh. He took upon himself our nature. We love him because he faced the law, born of a woman, born under the law, and obeyed it in every jot and tittle as a man, tempted as we are, yet without sin. It was a real temptation. He really hungered. He really thirsted. He really knew anger. He really knew the trial. He really knew the test. He knew the brutality of the flesh. He really knew sorrow. He really knew loneliness. He really knew hatred. He really knew pain. He was tempted in all points. He really knew poverty, as we are, yet he never sinned. We love him because he went to the cross. He bore that awful tree, bearing our shame and reproach and stripped and nailed to a cross. He died for our sins, and we love him. And we love him because right now at the right hand of God, he intercedes for us. and he's coming back again. And he said, if I come back, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I don't want to leave, because I love my Master. I love my Master. And that's the first reason this servant gave. He stood before the judges there, and they said, you can go free. You can be your own boss. You can be your own master. You can be your own captain. You're free to go. I don't want to go. Why don't you want to go? I love my Master. I love my Master. That's it. I want to be His servant. I love people in churches for a lot of reasons. But the saved are there because they love the Master. There are people who have adopted religion for a lot of reasons. But the saved have received it because they love their Master. People have walked down church aisles and been baptized and united with different organizations for a lot of reasons. But the saved are there because they love the Master. And there are people who read the Bible and pray for a lot of reasons, but the saved do it because they love the Master. And there are people who preach for a lot of reasons. They preach for fame and popularity and money. They preach for a lot of reasons, but the saved do it because they love the Master. They love the Master. And there are people who go to church on Sunday morning for a lot of reasons, but the saved do it because they love the Master. And some people go on Wednesday night, and they do it because they love the Master. That's the whole thing. I don't want to go free. I don't want to be my own boss. I don't want to. I want to stay with my Master because I love Him. I love Him. All right, tell me another reason why you want to stay. Well, I want to stay because I love my wife and I love my children. I love those in the household of my Master, and I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. You know, there are a lot of folks who go around with their resignation in their hip pocket all the time. If you make them mad, they say, I'll leave. If you don't do things just like they want you to do them, they'll leave. If you don't sing what they want to sing, they'll leave. If you don't preach like they want you to preach, they'll leave. They'll leave. But this servant says, I'm not going to leave. I love the people of God. I want to stay with them. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. Listen to Ruth over here. Turn to the book of Ruth. And this is a beautiful story here, but here Ruth was Naomi, you know, the mother-in-law of Ruth said to Ruth, she said, now, you go on back to your folks and live with them, and I'm going over here. And Ruth looked at her in verse 16 of Ruth 1, and she said, Naomi, don't make me leave you. Entreat me not to leave you. Don't ask me to leave. Don't ask me to return from following after you or where you go. Where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. And where you die, I want to die. And where you're buried, I want to be buried. Don't make me leave. Boy, don't you wish you had a church full of folks like that. Don't preach and don't make me leave. Oh, that's a white horse of another color, isn't it? Preacher has to be awful careful that he doesn't make them mad because they'll leave. And if the Lord doesn't do things just like folks think he ought to do them, they'll leave. But this servant here said, I don't want to leave. And he said, the Master said, you're free. He said, I don't want to go. Don't make me go. I love my Master. And I love His people. I love this house. I love my wife and I love my children. Don't make me leave. Well, I couldn't stand it if I had to leave you. I love you. I read a story about an old preacher in England. He'd preached at this church. I wish I could call his name. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't. But it's a true story. He'd pastored this little church out in a little village. And he'd been there for a long time, 12, 13, 14, 15 years. And they couldn't pay him a decent wage. They didn't have any money. They were all farmers, and they paid him with chickens and hogs and eggs and stuff like that, you know. And the old man, he had a family, had a wife and children, and he's a great preacher. I've got books by him. I can't remember his name. But he wrote a lot of outstanding books, preached some great. He was a well-known preacher. And his fame spread to London. And so a big church in London called him. He went up there and preached, and they wanted him to be their pastor. And they promised him about 10 times what that little church was paying him. And they promised him a parsonage that was one of the most beautiful parsonage you could imagine. He's living in a little old thatched roof house down here in this village. So he came back and told his wife, he said, I've accepted that church. And we're leaving after next Sunday service. Monday morning, we're leaving. So he preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, and handed in his resignation. And the folks came to help him pack the next day. And they got the wagon out there, and they were carrying furniture out, and everybody was crying. They were just crying. The preacher was, and his wife, and the members of the church. Everybody was crying. And they kept loading that furniture. And they got everything out of the house, every dish, every cup, saucer, every piece of furniture, the rugs, everything out of the house piled on that wagon. And he got up in the seat, his wife and his children piled up in the back. And he took the reins of the horse in his hand, and he looked down at one of his deacons. And the deacon looked up at him and said, "Well, preacher, we'll always love you, but we wish you wouldn't leave." And he sat there and looked at him and for a few minutes, and then he threw the reins down, climbed down off the wagon, got his wife down. He said, "Unload that furniture. I can't go." And he stayed there the rest of his life and died there. Now, that's what I'm talking about here. The servant said, "I don't want to go free. I love my master." That's first. You can't love the people of God unless you love God. You can't love the children of Christ unless you love Christ. But, brother, if you love Christ, you'll love His children, every one of them. And you'll have a heart that bleeds for them, and a heart that breaks for them, and a heart that prays for them, and a heart that weeps for them. You'll have a heart that lives for them, and you cannot bear to leave them. "I don't want to go," he said, "because I love my children." And then he says the third reason. He said, the judge said, "Say it plain, man." He said, "I love my master. I love my master." Oh, I wish folks would fall in love with Christ. I love my children. I wish folks would fall in love with one another. Love covers a multitude of infirmities. Love covers a multitude of faults. And then he finally just said, "I will not go free." That's it. "I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving." All right, let's watch the third thing and I'll close. Look at the boring of the ear. So they bring him to the door of the house. And the ear. What is the ear? The ear is that with which we hear. Turn to John chapter 10. And here's the reason they bored his ear. They bored his ear because he's going to listen only to the master's voice. He's not going to be entreated. John chapter 10. He's not going to be enticed. He's not going to listen to anybody else's voice. His ear is bored to the door of the master's house. And Christ said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me." They hear my voice. Their ears have been bored. Their ears have been bored. They hear my voice. Another shepherd they will not hear. Another shepherd they will not follow. They hear my voice because their ear has been spiritually, supernaturally, sovereignly, providentially, powerfully, on purpose, bored with the needle of God's love. And that ear is tuned to Christ. Brethren, I tell you, I can stand up here and I watch people's faces while I'm preaching. And I can preach about the love of Christ and the grace of Christ and the mercy of Christ, and I can just watch it. I can watch it going into your very hearts. I can watch you receiving it. I can watch you, your ears, just they seem to get bigger and bigger. They seem to be directed straight like radars to the Word because your ears have been pierced and you can receive His Word. I watch others and they're not too much interested. Their ears are not tuned to the Word of God. They're not tuned to the voice of Christ. They're not tuned to the voice of the Spirit. They're not tuned to the mysteries of the Gospel. They're tuned to something else. And they're not comfortable. But oh, this servant, after they bored his ear, he went around there just waiting on the master to call him. I love my master. What did you say, master? He comes running. The master says, I didn't call you, John. I knew you called me. I didn't call you, John. Well, I was listening so intently, I just knew you called me. Well, I didn't call you, John. And then the ear was bored by the master. Now, here's an important thing. And this is something that's a real conflict and a real problem. I think a lot of people that we have in the churches today, the master hadn't bored their ears. Some evangelist comes into town, you know, and preaches a high-pressure sermon and drags them down the aisle. Or some preacher comes to town, you know, with a story about how he was converted from this to this, and they are in this, so they get converted unto him from this to this. And they make decisions, and then our children are put under pressure and all. But this man here, the master bored his ear. The master himself. The master himself. Salvation's of the Lord. The new birth is by the Spirit of God and by the power of God. And regeneration is a work of God. We are His workmanship. This work was not entrusted to a minister or entrusted to a servant or entrusted to a judge. The master himself bore this servant's ear. This was a relationship between him and his servant. And he did the work. Salvation is not something the church does for you. It's something the Lord does for you. Salvation is not something the preacher does for you. And when he leaves, you lose that salvation. Salvation is something the Lord does for you. Salvation is not something that the law or the ceremony does for you. It's something Christ does for you. And you're, I love my master. My salvation is a relationship between me and the King. He bored my ear. He pierced my heart. He gave me a new nature. He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He's my Lord. And then the ear was bored to the door of the master's house. And the Scripture says here that that servant will serve him forever. Now, brethren, that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, I'm a servant. I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. I know about these other masters, and they're hard taskmasters. My master is a good master, and I love him. And I've got a wife and children down there in the master's house, and oh, they're mighty precious to me. And I just will not leave. And there's no way in this world that I'll ever leave. That's the perseverance of the saint. I'm His, and He's mine. Our Father, take the Word and get glory to Thy matchless name and work in the hearts of Thy people to love Thee more and the hearts of those who know Thee not to seek the Lord. Lead us, O God, to seek Thee and seeking Thee to find Thee and finding Thee to love Thee and loving Thee to serve Thee. Give us a saving, living, loving relationship with Christ, one that can never be broken. Bore our ears to the door of the Master's house, and let us serve Him forever. In His name we pray. Amen.